Working Class Bowhunter Podcast 22 is underway, man. Getting some episodes launched. It's crazy. We're like a month in already.
It's going to go by fast, I have a feeling.
The older you get, the faster the time goes, because I think it's you're busier.
Yeah.
Sucks. Sucks, but it's good, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if that's good.
Hey, it gets you to whitetail season faster.
That's one way to look at it. And then the whitetail season goes by what normally feels like it's like a 3.5 month season. It's like, it feels like 3 weeks, honestly.
It does seem to go by faster every year.
It's like, son of a bitch. The podcast is presented by Elite Archery, code WCB. Again, if you come see us at a trade show, we're doing an Envision giveaway. But if not, code WCB, ship to a local dealer, support us, support Elite, support your local dealer. Everybody wins. I love that setup that they have. It's genius, really, I think. Spy Point Trail Cams. Man, the new Flex that they launched at ATA is going to, I think, change the outlook on Spy Point. I think it's a camera that's going to have something for everybody at a very fair price point.
Yeah, that's a quality camera for the money. I mean, that's going to be a good value. I'm excited to be running about half a dozen of those this year.
I can't wait to use them, and we'll keep you guys updated. Once we get them in our hands, we'll give like basically live reports every week as we go. Because at that point, once trade shows are over, like, we'll be caught up back to like weekly episodes and stuff like that. So bear with us. I don't know if it matters really to the listener that podcast land's not always exactly real time. It's always a little delayed anyway, because it's not live, but we'll get there. But yeah, just keep a lookout for that camera when that launches, because that's going to be real big. Slick Trick broadheads. A lot of questions on my mountain lion, what head I shot, and I shot it with a Raptor Trick. And it, like, old barns, you have to do some sewing. Just say that.
It's hard to beat the Raptor Trick.
It's just a solid head, man. It
flies good.
It smacked the tree on the other side of the cat and completely blew out my light of knock. Like, I didn't even notice it until I got back, and there's no light of knock. Like, it just went through. And in the video, I can hear the tree getting smacked. I think that's what made that weird sound. And we'll get into that podcast where I break down the shot. But yeah, Trey goes, "You got a good killer broadhead on that thing?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's good." So as long as I hit it right, you know. But code WCB at Slick Trick. Loophole Optics. Again, doing another giveaway at the trade shows with Loophole. I think we're doing some performance eyewear and some 10x42 binos. Don't have that fear of FOMO. Don't forget your binos, like some of our good buddies forget them. Austin's got the performance eyewear in hand right now.
Love these things. They look cool. And man, when it's bright in the wintertime, I don't leave home without them. Those things are nice.
Don't suffer from snow blindness. Loophole performance eyewear. That should be their slogan. They're just like, God damn, why do we sponsor these fucking guys? they are awesome. It's the only pair of sunglasses I carry. It's the only pair that I haven't smashed. It seems like every time I get drunk and break them, yeah. I'll be honest. And I haven't done that I have three pairs now, and I keep a pair in my wife's car and I keep two in my truck for a homie. I don't want my homie to have snow blindness.
That's thinking, man. That's nice.
I'm a good friend.
I'm a farmer. I'm pretty hard on these things. I like them enough that I wear them to work and play in, and they're holding up. These things are badass.
I like them. Yeah. If you've ever bought any like high end sunglasses, which I never have before. I bought a pair of Ray-Bans once, mm-hmm. and I smashed them on accident.
Yeah, I've had Oakleys and everything. These things are taking the punishment a lot better than my Oakleys did.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. Oakleys are designed for douchebags.
I wasn't going to say it.
I'm kidding. I don't really believe that.
We just pissed off about half the listeners.
I know. Oakleys are really nice. I'm just mad because I never had a pair of Oakleys. But I didn't actually mean that. But if you wear white sunglasses upside down on your hat,
not cool.
Time to consider some things. All right, I'm kidding about that, too. I didn't mean it. Don't be mad at me. I can't help what I do. But that's pretty funny.
But it's the truth.
Hey, Oakleys or Pit Vipers, what's better?
Oh, man, I'm going Oakleys because I was into the Oakleys when I was younger. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Oakleys has. Pit Vipers are, you know, popular. I don't know why, but they're kind of funny.
Isn't it like a requirement to have a mullet if you have Pit Vipers?
Is Pit Vipers, probably, but is Pit Vipers a joke? Is it a joke why people wear them?
I don't know. I've never went down that rabbit hole.
Just get a pair of Leupold performance eyewear and we don't
make
even,
it easy on yourself.
Just make it easy. Don't keep the ladies guessing what the fuck your personality is. Yeah,
don't be a joke. Be for real.
Be for real. Leupold performance eyewear. We'll do some more plugs on them. They're going to use that in a commercial, I think, for sure. Camo Fire. Let's get on Camo Fire. Well, you know what? Go to camofire.com. Check out what they have available. Like the other day, we pulled it up. They had trail cam accessories, like up to like 40-some percent off or even better than that. But it's just random. It's not always one set thing. It can be any hunting, outdoor-related products at crazy discounts, and the deals time out, and they refresh, and there's new stuff. Doug's famous saying for Camo Fire, delete your browser history so your wife doesn't know where you're shopping. Old Barn Taxidermy, like I said earlier, they're going to have to do some sewing on that kitty that I shot in Wyoming. Ross's full mount looks amazing. My mule deer's there. One of my whitetails from this year's there. I actually can get in that doe that I shot mounted.
Man, you're giving them some work this year. What, two whitetails, three whitetails, counting the doe, the muley, the cat?
So I have a coyote there. I have my mule deer there. I have my first whitetail there. My second whitetail's getting euroed. The doe and my mountain lion.
That's keeping them busy.
Sorry, guys.
Slowing everybody else up.
We love you. Do my shit last. I don't care.
King Kurt's rolling in the house.
Just like, yeah, can you mount this? It's a squirrel. Yeah, I need it. Scent Crusher is another partner of ours. You've heard us talk about it a long time. Dan Drake's awesome dude. Always kind of pushing the brink of innovation and ozone technology in a convenient package for hunters. No code for Scent Crusher, but check out scentcrusher.com and look at some of the new things they have rolling out for 22. Then big time, start thinking about your food plot plans now. Don't wait until a week before and then be trying to rush shipping like I do when being unprepared.
Yeah. And the way COVID's treating us this year, I'd be getting my stuff ahead of time anyways.
Yep. Use our code WCB2022. Figure out what you want to do for your food plots and get it mapped out. I'm going to think outside the box a little bit. I'm going to try to do the, like, engineer the plot for deer as far as, like, structure of the plot, shapes of the plot, stuff like that.
And realistically, like, we're coming up on this frost seeding period, be in March when the ground's starting to thaw. Mm-hmm. If you got some bare dirt or some ground that doesn't have a lot of debris in it and you want a nice clover plot going, there's not a better time to get in there, broadcast some clover in it. That frost and that snow is going to put that seed in and your work's done. It's easy peasy.
I'm going to do that this year. When you do that, do you have to technically like drive over it with like a...
No, just that's what's cool about it. Like as long as there's not a lot of debris on the ground and you can get some soil contact, you go in there with a hand broadcaster, broadcast your plot, and you come back in April and it's freaking a green carpet.
Awesome. Okay, that's good to know. I'm going to try that this year. But start thinking about your food plots. If you can do supplemental feed in your state, that's great too. They got you covered there as well. So this episode's going to be a fun one. Kaler shot a slob.
Yes, he did.
Out at your place.
Yes, he did.
And, the story's awesome.
Yeah, that was the big one I wanted to take off that farm, and Kaler got to be the lucky guy that got it done.
Good dude. I'm happy for him. And it, like, what I love most is like, he appreciates that deer to, I don't even think really you can describe how much he appreciates that deer.
He said it was his dream buck. He likes big eights and he likes clean deer. And that deer was both.
So did he rebook with you for another hunt?
He will be coming back next year.
He is?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Kayla's a good dude. Hope you guys enjoy his story. And thanks for supporting us. You know, we need it now more than ever. We're growing and things are changing for the better. So we appreciate y'all sticking with us. And, you know, even though, there's commercials and ads on some of these episodes, I know a lot of you guys that listen to other podcasts, this is a thing for free content. Everybody hears it. And some people will bitch about it, and that's fine. But, you know, this takes up a lot of our time and it's something we got to do. And we're working with companies we truly believe in. So if you do listen to the ads and support our partners, it's really, really, really appreciated from our end. And I know our partners appreciate it too. So just had to say that, you know, every now and then you get somebody bitching like, well, you did 8 minutes of ads. Well, it's like, well, fuck you. You ever listen to the radio?
Yeah, but our ads are fun. We try to keep it real and have fun with them. And I think people enjoy the ads too.
I hope so. We'll see. You always get the dudes who don't know what the fuck's really going on or don't understand the work. Move around. Move around. Hope you enjoy the episode. Thanks for being here. It is the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. If you didn't get that from the intro, that's 48 minutes long. Thank you for being here. We appreciate the support lately. Shout out to everybody on our Patreon. It's me and Mr.
Austin Chandler.
We're leading the front as hosts on this episode.
Man, where's everybody at?
Doug, again, still on this episode, has licked too many bot fly holes.
Hate to see it.
That's bot fly holes for you people at home.
Well, slow it down. Bot fly.
Bot fly. That's the holes and antlers that bot flies tend to make. Like on your 190, for example, mm-hmm. There's a big bot fly hole.
We got to have a shirt that says, "Let me see your bot fly hole."
I don't know if we need that shirt.
With a big antler with a bot fly hole in the back of it.
I don't think we need that shirt. I mean, yeah, it would be great, but I just don't know how well it would
do. I think it'd sell like a hotcake.
You do?
I do.
Let me see your bot fly hole. If another podcast takes that, we're coming at you with a lawsuit. I already have our lawyer in action. He's prepared. Kaylor.
How's it going?
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here, man, and you're here for good reason.
Yeah, it was. I'm excited to be here. Listened for a long time, and
this is your first like actual guest appearance, isn't it?
This is my first time sitting in on a podcast, being on a podcast.
We sat in on Drexel's podcast.
Yeah, well, that doesn't count.
You're kind of co-hosting on this.
A little bit.
A little bit, and then Herm's in here. We got him on a working mic.
I'm here.
See, that one works. I don't know what was up with that other one.
Turned it on for him.
I had the shy filter on, I think, on the last episode we did with you guys. And we have this giant specimen of a freaking 8-pointer at the end of the studio table. And what aggravates me about it is, and this is the only thing that aggravates me about it, is that it doesn't look as big as it is in person. Yeah, hey, Herm, you can pull that thing right up to you and get her in there. Need help? Oh, we're messing up. He's holding it up. There it is. See, it just doesn't look. So this is going to be a video podcast. It doesn't look as big.
He's a hard deer to take pictures of.
It didn't, dude. I saw. So we're going to get into the whole story. We're going to do the whole thing. But pictures that posted online of your buck, Kaylor, it just is. It's big, right? But it's not big, big. You might have a hard time getting her back on that old Boone and Crockett whiskey bottle. She's slippery. They need to make the Boone and Crockett whiskey bottle grippy. So it can hold a skull plate. Here, I'll grab.
Why don't they just make an antler holder on that thing, for Christ's sakes?
That's actually a solid move.
No, it's a massive 8-pointer, dude. Pretty cool story. No longer than what we knew the deer, but ended up making for a pretty epic hunt for you.
Yeah, it was a blast, and anyone that knows me knows that I like typicals more than non-typicals, and big eights on top of it. So this is really my dream deer if I had one.
I don't know how you're going to beat him.
I don't think I can. Not with an 8, at least.
So this story doesn't really start with you.
Not at all.
So it's time to interview Austin.
What's up?
The host becomes the guest.
I got a little piece of the puzzle here.
Let's talk about it.
Well, I started outfitting 3 years ago. It's allowed me to buy some rougher farm ground that I wouldn't normally be able to afford. But now that I'm leasing some hunts, running some hunters on it, it lets me buy some ground with some non-tillable acres. So this Primo piece, it hadn't even hit the market yet, actually. It was getting ready to hit the market the next day. And I found out about it, and I drove around the property, and I knew the history of the deer that had come from surrounding farms. I'm friends with a couple of the guys that hunt the area. And I honestly didn't even step foot out of the truck. I made one circle, and I said, full asking price. Let's just get this thing bought before it even hits the market. Mm-hmm. So I knew the guy selling the farm, got the deal done, and I've got this new tremendous whitetail farm. So very excited. I think I actually put cameras up before I even owned the farm. I talked to the farmer that owned it. I said, "You care if I hang some cameras?" He's like, "No, man, go ahead. It's your farm now." So got cameras hung and 3 or 4 megas on it within the first 15 days. Mm-hmm. And one of the megas was this deer. Super wide. I get a couple really good pictures of him. He's hitting bean stubble going back into bed, and the one, it's in the daylight, and you can just see shorter tines, but humongous brow tines, and probably 22, 23 inches wide, mm-hmm. just a bulldozer. So I was pretty pumped to get that picture.
Yeah.
And then it came shed season, and you actually got to join us on that little shed hunting party we had. What did we have, 10? Probably 10 people?
I don't know. It was a good time. My brother-in-law was with Casey, Queer for Deer was with us. yeah, we went out and basically just having a good time.
Yep.
You know, went out with a couple beers in the Carhartt pockets. And
well, I was excited because I just bought the farm, so I'm amped up. I mean, this is my dream whitetail farm, mm-hmm. and I finally get to share it with some guys. You know, I've been talking to you guys about it, so we got to put boots on the farm and look for some antlers, and we had fun, and we did well.
Yeah.
What did we find? Probably 15, 20 sheds?
Well, I didn't find any, if you're counting. Yeah, I think so. We swiped up a couple. I was always next to people when they found them. That was fun for me, right? So it's typical. Casey was all Queer for Deer and got ahead of me a little bit. And are we up to this point of the story?
I think we are, yeah.
So we get out. We hop out of the... I think we're in Ross's Ranger.
I wasn't with you. I was meeting you. I come from the west side of the farm working towards the middle, and you guys took the Ranger in, and then we kind of met.
Yeah, it was me, Ross, and Queer for Deer. We're all in the Ranger, and we get up there and hop out. I'm like, all right, loading the car. You know how you load your Carhartt pockets full of Busch Lights mm-hmm. and whatever other kind of beverages you like to drink?
Enjoying the beautiful day.
It was just a crisp, like, late winter day.
Starting to get muddy. It's just the frost was starting to come out of the ground, warm, just a beautiful day.
It was just nice. Yep. So I'm looking in the tall grass over here. Like, you know, I always think, channel my inner Dana Pace.
Looks bucky everywhere, doesn't it?
Looks bucky everywhere. So I'm like looking for some glowing white rack, you know, to be in wherever, you know, you just picture shed antlers. And Casey's like, goes the other way in the field pretty much, like in the open, mm-hmm. finds these two just glorious sheds. And she's all like, again, getting Queer for Deer, which I don't blame her. I got Queer for Deer for a little bit there. And she pulls up these freaking... Is that harsh to say? Is that not a thing?
It's kind of harsh, but I think our audience is going to be okay with it.
Is queer offensive? I'm being fun with it, right? Is that...
We're having fun. We're not trying to be offensive.
Casey's our friend, and she's cool with it.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. I didn't know. I was like, man, maybe that is harsh. I'm being silly. Don't actually believe in what I'm saying. So she finds these awesome sheds, and I'm like, you bitch. Like, I was going to go that way, and you went ahead of me. It don't matter either way. I was stoked for her, but I'm like, holy crap, these are awesome sheds, you know, and just mondos. Like, well, hey, they're sitting on the freaking table right here.
We got them right here. The brow tines are unlike anything I've ever seen on a white
tail. Pick them up, will you? Pick them up. Why don't you handle them a little bit?
So this would be his left side.
Dude, they, like, grew, because I remember them being big.
Well, we got drunk that night up in my man cave, and we scored him, and I was guessing like 148, and you were like, yeah, he's 50s. I'm like, I don't think so. We ended up going 155 last year.
Did I measure him?
You did.
I was drunk.
So this deer has like, this brow tine's over 10 inches, and the other one's right at 10.
Yeah, it's insane.
27-inch beams.
You could cut that brow tine off, make a Damascus knife, and spam the internet with that thing.
It's insane. Bladed, I mean, just freaking wild. So after scoring him, I'm like, damn, that's a mid-50s eight. Like, what's he going to turn into? And Casey actually showed me where she picked the antlers up. He jumped a fence. You could tell from the direction which side of the fence he was laying on. He'd come out of bed. He jumped this fence. I actually think one of the antlers might have been a hanger, so we should get a picture of it for social media.
Well, wasn't there an old ladder stand over there?
There's an old ladder stand right next to it. Kayler, I don't know if you could see it from where you were sitting or not, but no, it was real, real close to you. But so these sheds are laying within 10 yards of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that automatically gives you one piece of the puzzle. You know, in the late season, that deer liked that farm, and specifically, he jumped the fence right there, so you know exactly where he's crossing. So gives you a little piece of the puzzle there. So the prep work began on that farm. I picked up another shed of a giant that was down there, and I actually think my first hunter that killed that big one first, he ended up killing that deer. And then there were two or three other really nice deer down there, but the prep work started, and this was kind of the whitetail that I was focused on. Like, this was the one I was excited to see.
Mm-hmm.
So planted food plots, put in switchgrass that actually ended up failing on me, so I got to get down there this spring and do it again. But did a lot of work in anticipation of this deer, and never got a picture of him. All summer, never saw him. Clear up in October, November, never saw him through the rut. And we had some buddies back in town filming a hunting show called Hunt Wars. You might have heard of it. And they filmed a really good eight, and they told me, they're like, man, we just saw this really, really big eight. I'm like, well, that's kind of got my interest peaked because I haven't seen a really big eight. Let me see the video. And we watched it, and I just about shit. I'm like, oh, my God, that's my boy. That's the one I've been waiting to see down there. So it was pretty cool to see him after not getting any trail camera pictures or anything of that deer.
Do you think he just didn't spend time on the farm?
I think he was somewhere else. I think he was on a neighboring property, and as it got later, he came into his winter range, and they filmed that deer right in the same little pocket where he dropped his sheds. So there's... the wheels are kind of turning right now. I'm like, okay, he's in the exact same spot where he dropped his shed. So there's a little bit of a pattern here. And I got to back up. One little piece of the puzzle I forgot to mention is I found an old shed laying out in the middle of the field, probably 300 yards north of where Casey picked his sheds up. And I don't know how old he was there, but it is this deer. You can tell the brow tines shaped the same way. The beams curve in. I mean, it's
100% the same deer.
It's this deer. 100%. I'm guessing probably at 2 years old. And when Casey found him, he was probably four years old, I'm guessing.
Which is crazy to think that an antler can lay there.
It laid in the field, and production happened over the top of this antler for 2 years. And I just was driving by and saw it laying down in a little
wash. Can you hold that up
out,
just in case you can see it on the video side of things?
Exact same shape of the brow tines, exact same shape of the beams.
Look at the G2 on that shed compared to the G1. It's just incredible. That's what's so awesome about just deer. They're just cool animals, man. Like, yep. You get that. So that's amazing you found that. What, when you found that little shed, were you like...
As soon as I saw it, I'm like, holy shit, that's him. That's him as a little guy.
Yeah.
So anyways, so they filmed him. And the wheels are turning now. So that was their last day of the hunt. And my buddy Jordan Gensmer is coming down from Wisconsin. And I'm like, I'm going to get you on this big deer. So we hunted him. And Jordan actually got to see him one night.
Oh, he did. I guess I didn't realize that.
Jordan got to see this deer one night and came out actually east of where Kaler sat, about 150 yards east of there, but come out into the same pocket and actually crossed the fence and went back into bedding that night right where he dropped the sheds. So there's a really definitive pattern happening with this deer. So Jordan went through the rest of his hunt, didn't get another encounter with him. When Jordan left, the day he left, I took a ground blind and I stuck it right where this deer had dropped the sheds, basically within 20 yards of it. And I stuck a cell camera up on this little piece of CRP where I figured I might catch him coming in or out of the CRP entering the field, and got pictures of this deer at night. I think it was the day Kaler got there. And you can go ahead and jump in at this point, Kaler, because you kind of started hunting him at this point.
Yeah, that would have been...
Okay, I wanna, can I back up a little more? I'm sorry to divert this story. What made you want to book a hunt with Austin?
Just being good, knowing him over the last couple of years and getting to meet him, and just came up in conversation one day, and I'm like, well, it's something I've never hunted out of state, and I'd rather hunt whitetails out of state than anything else right now. It's kind of top of my list.
Interesting, yeah.
A lot of people are mule deer, a lot of people are elk, but I got a bucket list where I want to shoot a wall hanger boon or wall hanger whitetail in the, every state in the Midwest. It's a weird bucket list.
Oh, that's a cool bucket list, though. That's a bucket list you don't hear much about.
That's that's my top bucket list item. So now I got two states down, luckily. But
so am I ever going to see you again? You just going to shoot one like this and ghost me?
Probably. I mean,
yeah, hey, I'm on you got your money. Shut your mouth.
Yeah, on the Missouri or Iowa now.
Okay, that's a cool bucket list. I don't know if we've ever interviewed anybody with that bucket list out of almost 500 episodes.
And well, I where I live in Wisconsin, I'm only 4 minutes north of the state line, so I'm right in the state line area. And thought about
you're hunting the fence line.
That's pretty much, yeah. But deer are bigger on our side.
Well, you came down here and shot your biggest buck, so you shut your fucking mouth, kid.
There's not a ton of public. I could just, you know, I could get an Illinois tag and go hunt public if I wanted to, but there's just not a ton of it. So I was going to have to look at somewhere to hunt, and I don't have a lot of friends that live on that other side. So Austin was my next guest there. So
wise choice.
Got to talking to him back at the Nebraska show, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, that's when it happened.
He was my first client to book. Yeah, he was actually the first guy to put a deposit down.
Oh, I remember that now. Yeah, okay. That's I didn't know when if it happened through the garage party or if it happened at the show or whatever. But okay, cool. I was just curious. So I guess we're caught up to speed on that. Just because you're from Wisconsin and there's, you know, we're in the Midwest. I just didn't know how it all connected.
Yeah, just that and, you know, being mutual friends and got to start knocking the list down somewhere. Mm-hmm. Or try to at least.
Yeah, so. For sure. So let's talk coming down for this hunt. I mean, what are the expectations and the conversations going on between you and Austin?
Well, Austin has been sending me a lot of show cam pictures over the summer and getting excited. And it was my first late season hunt down here, and I didn't know what to expect. I'd never hunted late season in my life. I'd never hunted in December in my life, let alone hunting. Yeah.
A lot of my clients want that hot week, right, or the hot 2 weeks. They want that November 1 through 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Kayler, I said, those spots are full. You know, I've already got guys that have came for years that those spots are spoken for. But I said, I don't have anybody book late season. And honestly, if you're looking at really big deer and getting a legit opportunity to big deer, late season's about as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Said if we hit the weather right, these cards could fall the right way for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked him into a late season hunt.
Talked me into late season. Then on top of it, I got to hunt my rut back at home too, so I didn't miss that. And
mm-hmm.
I knew if there's anyone that was going to know where big deer were later in the year, it'd be Austin, or at least, you know, have an idea and help me get on something.
Yeah.
Especially with my cameras being so quiet at home this time of year, so it was nice to get out and try something different.
See some deer.
Yeah, absolutely. I see a lot of does at home this year, but I had some big ones early. I had some good encounters, but since gun season, it's nothing but 2 and 3 year olds.
So. Yeah, it changes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, cool. I like getting up to speed a little bit. I didn't want to just jump into the thick of it here because, I mean, I'm not a late season guy. Not that I don't think it's got its opportunity, but I've said before in previous podcasts, I never hunted properties that had a lot of great late season opportunities, just mostly just watching nothing.
Well, you're shooting two of them in October. How are you supposed to hunt the late season when you shoot two of them in October?
That's recent times, man. Recent times. I turned into an October guy. I don't know. I didn't mean for that to happen, but just in the past, you know, it seemed like my late season was slow from pressure, mostly neighboring pressure and just lack of food on the piece I'm hunting. So it's, I would never book a place, I would now, but previously then from just my lack of late season experience. But as I go a little further into my hunting journey and realize like food sources and what late season can offer, now I probably would. But anyway.
Well, the time's coming close now, and I was supposed to come down a day later, and I actually did, but luckily I got up late off of work, so I actually ended up coming down a little bit early.
Mm-hmm.
Came down a day early. He got me out right away and got out in a ground blind. And first time I've probably hunted in a ground blind in 10, 12 years. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time. And I think I saw probably 5 or 6 does. You could see him feeding in the distance. And I'm just thinking, this is all this guy's got is does out here. That's mm-hmm. all I'm going to see this whole time.
Shitting on Austin.
Stuck me in the gar hole.
Put me in the back 40.
But it was good. There was a lot of activity. I, you know, it's day one. It's not my farm, but you still got to figure it out type of deal. So
mm-hmm.
weather was good. I think we had an east wind that first day. We had a west wind. It was switching to east the next day. So mm-hmm. it was, you know, hopes are looking up. And it wasn't real eventful that first night, but looking at deer cast and everything else, stuff was going to start getting good the next couple days. So mm-hmm. I was getting excited.
Yeah.
We had about a 5-day window there where deer cast was looking really good. So I told him, I said, you got 5 or 6 good days of hunting here. I'd like to see you kill him, you know, the first part of the hunt. Cause that's honestly, it's when your conditions are going to be ideal. Everything's kind of lining up.
Yeah.
So he hunted that first day and didn't see much. And then the wind switched down to the east. I said, I got this small little 6 or 7 acre field that hadn't been hunted yet. And it's got a lot of corn in it that had got knocked over with the combine. I was pissed off. It was my last 7 acres, so I just plowed through it. And
your gleaner wouldn't pick it up.
Moral of the story is my machine wasn't running right, and it was raining on me, so I'm trying to scramble through the last 6 acres.
Couldn't see through the rain and that blue glass.
So I knew there was probably going to be some deer feeding in that. And that night, I got a picture of 2 Mondos, and this deer was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we got to get you in that little field. So he hunted the field that night. And what'd you end up seeing that night in the little field?
Oh, like, Christ, what, 2 does, I think?
Big night.
Oh, yeah, big night. Nice. The best part was you got, those 2 pictures about 10 minutes after I got in my truck, too. So they were right there right after I left.
That makes you feel good.
Oh, absolutely. Didn't blow them out. They were still on their feet. So, and the wind was blowing the direction where they were, too. Mm-hmm. So I knew that we were still in good shape there, especially.
Right. It's probably better you got out when you did now, right?
Yeah. I mean, I got out late, too. I waited for it to get dark, but the moon was so, because the field was full of deer. And mm-hmm. the moon was so bright, it was casting a shadow. I got out pretty late, but at the same point, those deer were there, and I didn't spook them, so I knew that was still a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we hunted that little field that night and didn't see much. So we're kind of trying to get our game plan together. And the wind was right for three different stands that next day. I'm like, let's just wait, see what happens. Kind of game plan in the morning. We'll get a game plan because he's setting mornings out. I talked him into just sleeping in the mornings. We'll just set the mornings out in the late season, hunt the primo evening set.
Yeah.
And 8:30 that morning, I was sitting on my couch. I think we just ate breakfast.
Yeah.
And I said, holy shit. Look at this thing. And the camera that I just set up about 2 days before you got down, right on that CRP field going in, we get a daylight picture of this monster going in to bed in the CRP, and beautiful picture. I'm assuming we'll use that picture in this video podcast, but
market it down now.
Yep. So he's going in and you kind of think this in your head. It's like, it's 8:30. He's probably going to be bedding down pretty quick. Like, he's honestly probably within 100, 200 yards of his bed right now. So I told Kaylor that. I said, you're going to go to this ground blind, and you're going to sit there, and he's going to come out, and he's going to give you a 40-yard shot, and we're going to be done on day number three. Mm-hmm. Just kind of joking around. But, I mean, very hopeful. You know, we've seen this deer go in, so I knew when this deer is going to come out and feed, he's probably going to get eyeballs on this deer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and especially where this deer went in. I mean, it was pretty close to where you park your truck when you pull into the farm, so... The way he did it, he had to hide my truck, and it was a whole different route to get in there. And mm-hmm. I guess the one thing we skipped is you had deer blowing up your cameras all day.
Yeah, there was some decent movement that day.
Till 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The deer cast was looking great. The barometer was rising. It was the first north wind in a while. 10 feet low.
Conditions were money.
Yeah. Yep.
Everything was lining up. Everything was perfect other than the red moon was still like 2 or 3 days out. Yep. The only thing that wasn't perfectly aligned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I got in there and pulled in further than you'd expect. You actually drive by where you're going to be hunting. You know, well, I'm assuming with you in there and farm equipment and, you know, just being a vehicle. But
yeah,
there's a good low spot and hid the truck good and was able to sneak in down a ravine and get in there just smooth. I went in early. I was in probably about 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, well, it's going to be a long day.
Oh, damn.
I don't
yeah.
see nothing.
Yeah.
That CRP is kind of elevated. So I was worried about that deer spotting him when he come in. So I told him, I said, get along this timber line. If you can, keep your profile low. When you approach that ground blind, try to stay as low as you can and get in there. And he said, he texted me. He's like, well, I got in. I didn't see any flags get up.
Yeah.
It was good getting in, especially that finger ridge that I run down through. I was for as thick as it is in there. I didn't hear anything blow out. I didn't see any flag. Doesn't mean
you didn't bump something. Yeah.
But it felt good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just one of those nights where you just, you know, you got a good feeling. Everything.
The vibe is right.
The vibe is right.
You know the vibe. When it's on, it's on.
I think you sent out a Snapchat that evening, said something like, sometimes it just feels right.
Yeah, I think I put it on my Instagram.
A little cocky.
That. I've had that feeling 3 times in my life, though, and it's never steered me wrong. But it did. It was one of those nights that everything just felt right.
That night when you lost your virginity, and what was the other one?
The other virginity.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I was going to make a joke, but I do this, and then I fucking shoot myself in the foot. Then I feel bad for making bad jokes that could be offensive to...
It's not a family show, but we got to keep it halfway clean.
I'm sorry. I should know this. It's my show.
Anyways, we get in there.
Thank you, Caleb. I was gonna say something. I might have went over well, but it might not have. So I just shut my fucking mouth.
Anyways, I get in there early. You know, you might see action. Austin is saying he might feel comfortable in there and come out and feed at 2:00. You never know.
Yeah, you do. You never do know.
But I mean, the wind. You get in there and the wind was just perfect. You know, just the blind how you.
But
want
didn't
it.
You feel good getting in there that early? Even though you're like, it's a long day of sitting, but like you just like. Okay, now everything's going to settle down, and if he does come out, it's just clean money from here on out. You know?
Absolutely.
If there's does out there feeding at 1:00, you're safe. You're already in your spot.
Yeah, you're not busting anybody and making things weird before you get in there.
Yeah, where you come in at 1:00 and you pull and park your truck, and there's 3 does in the field. It's like, well, fuck.
Yeah,
Did I just blow him out early?
Or I know.
Are they going to come back out and feed later?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I sat there for most of the day and just eyes glued to the glass, especially now he showed me on Onyx how the farm kind of laid out. So you could kind of tell where, you know, I had a better idea where stuff yeah. might come from. It's day three, starting to figure things out. I didn't see much until about 3 o'clock. He glassed up with some turkeys in the CRP, but other than that, wasn't a whole lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that day one, I saw those first does feeding. He's got some brassicas out there, probably 500 or 600 yards.
Probably not that far, yeah. Probably 300 from where you were sitting.
Yep. I had a judgment.
Yeah.
Oh, 415 is when I saw those first does the first night. So, mm-hmm. you know, 330's rolling around. I'm glued to my glass pretty hard.
Right.
And sure enough, here's two, three does out in that brassicas already. So I'm glassing them. And any horns out there? I haven't seen a horn yet. It's day three. I didn't know what Austin put me on here. Some type of dole farm.
The gar hole.
Pretty much.
You're going to see something big or you're not going to see anything.
Yeah.
That's pretty much. Anyways, I'm glassing these does awful hard. And I hear, you can just hear a bunch of just stomping and trash. Just something running right to my left. And you can't see 60 yards out into this field to my left. With the way the blind's sitting, I'm a lefty, so Austin had it set up for a right-handed guy, so that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Didn't realize he was a lefty till after he shot the deer.
No shit. Nice. Anyways, I dropped my binoculars, and I looked to my left, and about 60 yards, there's two does standing there, or not standing there, but running towards me, and sure shit, right behind them is this just, all you see is just this one, this wide deer, short tines, but just a monster. Mm-hmm. Chasing him, head down, tongue out, mouth open, just dogging these does like it's November 1st.
No kidding.
Just going hard at them.
And what day was this?
December 18th.
December 18th. Just running them like the rut's on.
Full bore.
Ross's third rut.
It is, yeah. Even getting kind of late for that. Well, it'd be the second rut, yeah, but getting kind of late for that even. Usually you see that activity, you know, the first 7 or 8 days. And right, after that, right. They're kind of on food, but that surprised me with this deer. He was running them hard.
He was running them hard, and they weren't big body deer. They were probably younger deer that yep. might have been, you know, later fawns or mm-hmm. earlier fawns that are coming into their first cycle. I don't think they were this year's, but definitely could have been last year's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they run over the knoll, and I lose them. And
how close were they?
40. He came out at 40 yards, and by the time I saw him and dropped my binoculars and grabbed my rangefinder and bow, they were gone.
Mm-hmm.
Austin said he's going to come right out into this field. He's going to be right at 40 yards.
Right.
I was kind of joking when I said that, and then he sent me a message. He's like, well, he just run does by me at 40 yards, and he was going too fast. I couldn't shoot. I'm like, well, that actually kind of worked the way I said it was going to.
I'm the Lord.
Well, he said that, and when he said that earlier that day, I'm like, well, I'm confident. I practiced, you know, 50, 60 all year, but I went out into the yard, and I was dropping bombs, feeling good. So
yeah,
bow was working the way it should have, and
mm-hmm.
like, shot maybe a dozen arrows and that's it. I'm going to enter on a good note. Well, they run over this knoll and I lose them and I'm shaking like a leaf on a tree at this point. Just
for sure.
Just
yeah.
for the encounter. Probably a few minutes goes by and I glass him up. He's running these does up into this brassica field through this point. And as soon as he runs into that field, all you see is flags. And I mean, probably a half dozen, 8 does come out of there
mm-hmm.
and lose him again. It's kind of thick. You're looking through a finger of woods. Before you know it, all those does kind of feed out into this corn where I'm at,
mm-hmm.
200 yards to the north. And I'm like, well, sweet, he's going to foul all these does out. Well, they all kind of cleared the plot, and he was just out there eating for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. How far?
Well, he was in Nebraska, so probably 300 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Those does were probably 150, 200 mm-hmm. north of me. And eventually he found his way out into the corn, and I lost him because it's kind of some rolling, not just knolls.
Yeah, yeah.
But all you could see, I finally glassed him up, and you couldn't see his throat patch, but you could see it from the bottom of his chin, the top of his rack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch.
The goods.
Well, so I'm going to get my binoculars up. And
you
take
son of a bitch.
So I got my binoculars up, and I'm going to take this sweet Snapchat video of it and send it to Austin. It looks like I have Parkinson's disease trying to take this video.
I could tell there was antlers, but that's about it.
just it's hard enough to get a video of your phone through binoculars, let alone something like that.
Right, right.
It's probably been a half hour. And then he starts chasing the doe around again, and they feed back into this bottom. They run back into this bottom, and I lose them. All the does feed back in there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you could see them, and they fed back up into the brass, because they're just making a circle, just too small of a circle for to be in, you know, the wheelhouse or anything.
Mm-hmm. Beer.
Mm-hmm.
Beer break.
Mouth's getting dry.
Take your time, man. You need another beer? You
got another beer? I got one on the floor.
Grab it. Get it ready, man. No pressure. Nope. Here, let me get you another beer.
Party foul.
A lot of pressure.
Is there another beer around here?
I got some here.
You want me to go get you another beer? I'll go get you another beer.
No, I'm good.
Hey, we got all day, man. This is a working glass bow hunter. I'll get you a beer because I'm going to grab myself one. Anybody else need a beer?
You want me to pause?
Herm's got a beer.
Oh, perfect.
There you go. You're not above a Bush Light, are you?
No.
What do they drink up in Wisconsin?
Free Bud Light, Bush Light, Miller Light.
Okay.
Girl stuff.
I want you to be comfortable, man. Get your beers. That's what we do here. I'm actually drinking a Crown and Squirt.
I went with the Bullet and Squirt. I did the old-fashioned style.
I'm a Bullet fan.
It's good shit.
While Kaler gets his... You can crack the other beer, man. Get comfy, man.
I'm comfy.
You're going into the goods. I don't want you to rush your story. Dude, this is a cool story. I like that the buildup. It's almost cool that he teased you.
Teased me for this. We're going on 45 minutes now.
It's been 45 minutes until you saw him come back out?
It's been 45 minutes since he originally came into the field. And
gotcha.
I have lost him for probably 10 of it. And so I've been watching him the rest of the time.
Oh, so you got... Okay, so let me ask you this, because I didn't ask... On your podcast, I didn't ask you directly if you like stared at the racks. Well, you kind of alluded to that. Like when a buck comes out, do you stare at the rack or do you like look and go, oh shit, okay, now just look where you want to put the arrow?
Yeah, you kind of just blurt out a little bit, especially whenever you're at full draw for a while.
Yeah, that's what I do. I don't know what you do what you guys do when you have a shooter come out. Because it sounds like you were staring at rack.
I was 100%. Well, I had an encounter earlier this year on October 24th of what then would have been my biggest deer to date back at home. And it was one to where I could tell you it was big. And it was just, I put my binoculars right away again, waited for it, but I enjoyed it. I ended up muffing the shot, hit him low, ended up living. Mm-hmm. But I didn't enjoy the encounter as much as I should have.
Cause you got like worked up over it or something from looking at the
room. I didn't want to get worked up over it.
Yeah.
And I still missed him.
Yeah.
Missed my mark.
Right. I gotcha.
But this time I'm like, I want to enjoy it and have it, but at the same point I'm shaking for an hour. Right, breathing right. Heavy like he's at, like I already shot him.
I've kind of built this deer up a little bit too, like every picture I show him I try to explain how special this deer is as a big eight. And and we got that picture that morning. I'm like, dude, you don't even understand what you're getting ready to go in and hunt right now. He's like, don't tell me that.
Well, you know, I see both sides of this, but I think it's good that you did that, because you get a deer like this in the wheelhouse and someone who isn't expecting what he is. This deer is fucking insane.
He's a moose.
This deer is insane looking. Like a big giant eight like this. You know, you tell a deer, I mean, anybody that knows big eights knows like what this is, right? But if you tell a guy who wants to be cocky about it and who's not going to admit how big this deer really is, you say, oh, yeah, he's a mid-60s eight.
Yeah, I shot a 160s. Well, I got two 170s at home. Yeah, sure you do.
Bud. Yeah, but listen, bitch, you don't get it. Like, guys that know deer will look at this deer and appreciate it differently. Guys who truly know deer. Guys that want to be cocky about deer will act like they don't see how massive this fucking thing is.
We talk about big frames all the time. It's hard to beat that frame.
A deer like this, if you're not ready for it, will fold you the fuck up and you will miss fast if you're not expecting something like that.
That deer will rattle anybody.
Anyone.
To make it better, I was at Austin's a whopping 10 minutes making myself at home in his basement, and he brings the sheds down. He goes, here, whack off to these if you want to for the next couple of days.
You said that?
Like, I brought it down to him. Like, he's specifically hunting this deer when he gets to my house. I'm like, here's some eye candy for you. I think I might have said what you just said, but.
You definitely did.
Give me a little eye candy there.
Austin tried to be more PG when he retold the story.
Like I said, it's not a family show, but we got to keep it halfway PG.
No, we don't.
I wasn't missing that blooper after I remembered it.
Okay. So Austin's worse than I am, turns out. And
you got me.
Okay, going back in. We're back on our feet. We got another beer. And so you're sending that Snapchat. You can't tell what it is in the Snapchat.
I knew it was him, but I was just giving him shit. Like, you look a little shaky there, bud.
If I haven't saved it on my phone. If you listen to it, you can physically still hear me breathing just... in the background, and he's 200 yards away, and he hasn't been within 40 yards for 40 minutes. Yeah. And I'm just, and he
pulled it together, man.
He came, when he came back out into the field, and spit I sent that mic. Snapchat, I texted him, and he was back in that corn. He goes, he sent me this text. I didn't see it until later after I shot the deer, but he goes, remember, it's just another deer. And I wish I would have saw that before, because it probably would have calmed me down a little bit.
Yeah.
But he did. He finally...
I knew he was, like, there was a good chance you were going to get an opportunity at that deer. So I tried to get in his head a little bit. I'm like, if you do get that deer close, you know, have fun with it. Like, it's just a deer. Have fun. Take your time. Execute a good shot. Don't get stirred up.
Great advice.
Yep.
Too. Definitely.
Yeah. And then, so I could see him back in the brassicas again. Now there's just a pile of does with him, but he is the only antler there is. So I'm like, God, there's nothing to even get him stirred up besides these does, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm like, he's chasing them. All they got to do is just come. I'm kind of on a fence line. All they got to do is run over this way to that next finger of woods, and they'll bring them right by me. Well, all those does, they finally start feeding out of them brassicas right towards me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, this is money.
Yeah, so you're making Play-Doh snakes at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because my hands weren't sweating at all. So it was perfect Play-Doh
right,
snake.
Because it was cold, right?
Yeah, it was freezing. But they feed... 13 does come out of that brassica field and feed within 30 to 40 yards of me and stop. And I'm like, oh, this is just perfect. 13 does, he's nowhere to be seen. Finally, I don't know, 10 minutes goes by, about 15 minutes before shooting time, and there's a little knoll right about 50 yards where that last doe stand. I am all ranged 40, 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, where did he go? He's not in the brassicas, he's not in the field. Where did he go and why did he leave?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the does that were out there, the ones you were chasing, are right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
If he was chasing them that hard, you'd think he'd be right here now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't. And what was it? Now we got down 10 minutes before shooting time, so it's starting to get dark. I'm in a blind, so it's already getting dark. And you can look over this knoll, and you just start seeing tines, and then rack. And I'm like, oh, shit, there he is. Grab my rangefinder, click, 40, click. 37, click, 35, 30, 25, and my hands in my HHA, and I'm dialing. I'm like, he's still walking at me, and just crank
20,
bottomed it out. And he's still walking, and he's staring directly. We're locked. Our eyes are locked.
And Kaylor previously got out. You've got out of your chair, so you're on your knees in the blind, right?
I am, yeah. Those does were there, and I realized where those does were standing. There's no way, the way this blind set up, I was going to be able to make a shot.
Your guide didn't set you up for a left-handed shot. He set you up for a right-handed shot, so you had to improvise.
Yeah, if I would have had an air bow or something, I would have been fine. But I didn't.
Until your generator went off.
Yeah, I had 60 gallons with me.
Okay, so you're on your knees. You're ready.
Yeah, I'm on my knees. I'm ready. My gloves are off, and I'm clicking. He's closing. From 50, he's coming right at me. He's wide and he can't see me. It's getting dark enough to where I know I'm blended in,
concealed back in the blind. Yeah.
But all I see is rack, a lot of it walking right at me. And all of a sudden he breaks that 30 mark and he's still coming. So I crank it back to zero.
Yeah.
There we go.
Right at the climax.
About to bust.
Daddy's about to bust.
So I clip on.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
You burped. You can't expect me not to hit that button.
Oh, no. I'd expect you to hit it again. Don't do it.
I won't. But don't do it.
I'll do it. He's closing. He's within 30 now, and I learned this summer to gap shoot with my bow, so I know if my bow set at 25, that I'm 4 inches high at 20 and 4 inches low at 30,
mm-hmm.
and at 20, I just pull a little high if he's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's still coming at me, so I click on, and I go to draw, and he's still walking right at me, but he's either going to turn or he's going to walk into me.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I go to draw, and I didn't realize it at the time, but the moleskin on my drop away was gone. It wasn't gone, but it was wore through.
Mm-hmm.
And I drew, and you just hear that.
Yeah.
And he just pegs me. Just now, we're locked eyes, but now he's looking at me.
Yeah.
And he didn't step back like a lot of times I do. He just just started the turn, and as soon as he turned, I just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And it whacked.
How far?
25 yards. 25 yards. And I heard the whack, but I'm like, God. My knock didn't turn on. I'm like, well, that's sweet. It's the fourth deer I put that arrow through. It was my best shooting arrow, so I just kind of kept shooting it.
Yeah.
Should have changed my knock. Never did. Didn't turn on. I'm like, oh, that's pretty sweet.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you didn't see where the arrow went? Nothing?
No, I could see the impact. It looked good. I'm on my knees, so it's kind of weird. You're almost, in him being on that knoll, you're almost shooting up a little bit, but
mm-hmm.
it looked just money. Couldn't see perfect, but you could see a good impact.
Right.
It sounded good. It was a pop.
Yeah.
He took off. I dropped my bow. I'm looking out the blind. He's going, and stops. Well, I had that deer I had earlier this year ran for
about the same distance, about 80 yards, and stopped and then walked away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, don't be doing this again.
Yeah.
Waiting for it, just for him to start walking off. All of a sudden, before you know it, tips over, stands back up.
Oh, shit.
And he's standing there. I'm like, what the hell? And I reach, mosey around and find my binoculars. Pull my binoculars up on him, and you can just see the blood just pouring out of both, just pouring.
No kidding.
Just dumping. And Austin saw it on the recovery. I mean, there is blood.
There's a lot of blood.
Everywhere.
No just kidding.
Just dumping. So I'm like, well, that's a pretty, like, probably a pretty good sign.
Yeah, right.
He aced a shot. Like, you missed heart by an inch or two. I mean, just double lung aced him.
And I don't even know if I might have taken an artery off the top for how much blood there was. Finally, he stood there probably for close to a minute and a half, if not 2 minutes. I mean, it felt like 15, but he stood there for a long time. You know, just legs locked, just
yeah,
probably dead standing there.
He's just trying to – it's he's already knocked out. He's just trying to make that eight count. He ain't going to make it.
Yeah,
yeah. And, I mean, he's probably dead standing there, but his muscles are just locked. And finally, he tips over the last time and doesn't move. And I watched him for probably close to 10 minutes before I called Austin because I was afraid he was going to get up
again. Right, yeah.
Well, I'm watching my phone the whole time because I knew at 4 o'clock this deer is on his feet and he's watching him. And that's when you're in the chips. Like, when you see him that early, you got a good chance.
Yeah.
And the clock keeps ticking by, and I got the shaky snap, and I'm getting this play-by-play like he's in the brass because now he's in the corn. And I hadn't heard from him for a half hour, and it's, you know, it's 15, 20 minutes past shooting light now. And I get the call. I'm like, okay, he should be walking out right now, but he's calling me. And I answer it, and then
I don't even know if Austin could even make out what I was saying, but I was just, you know the call.
Yeah, uh-huh, the call. Yeah,
he's not. Yeah, he is. I just watched him lay there for 15 minutes to make sure he didn't get up. He's down. He's
no shit.
Didn't go 100 yards.
What'd you do?
Well, he told me that he'd watch the deer fall over and then get back up. And then fall over again. I'm like, let's just be safe with all this shit that's went on with my buck. Last thing I want to do is bump one, right?
Yeah.
So you just sit in that blind, hold tight, make your phone calls, enjoy the moment. I'm at my mom's Christmas right now, so give me a few minutes. And I got my buddy, actually my neighbor, is going to come down and pick me up. We're going to come down there and enjoy this celebration.
Well, I called him, and he's like, why don't you just, you know, wait a few more minutes, and then... I told him I didn't want to walk up on this deer without anyone else being there.
Mm-hmm.
I did not. I wanted the, you know, just the first reactions to be with everyone else. And we had the coyote talk, how fast they can get on them. And
yeah,
this deer died directly between me and my truck.
Mm-hmm.
Just perfectly.
Yeah.
It's dark out. My phone's dying. So I'm walking towards my truck, and all of a sudden I look over, and 15 yards of my right, I can see the body laying there.
Yeah.
And I kept my hat down and walked over.
So you didn't get like a sneak peek?
I didn't want to see the rack. I walked over so I could see his ass, and I took my jacket off, I took my vest off, I took my bow, my binoculars, every loose article of clothing I had went on top of him, and I got the hell out of there, and then I called Ross. I told him exactly what I told Austin.
So Ross called me. I was out like doing some last-minute Christmas shopping. I get a call from Ross. Hey, the giant's dead. I'm going over to help him out and take photos and all this stuff. I'm like, dude, I'd come with you, but I was in town. The way other direction, I'm like, no shit. All right, send me pictures. Never got any pictures. but anyway, so he did call me. He's like, I'm going to help him out.
Well, I call Ross and go, what are you doing? And I told him. He's like, oh, I just took my jacket off. I'm putting it right back on now, though, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And he must have flew because he was felt like he was there in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He beat me there. He was there before I was.
I think Austin was a little upset that Ross got to see him first.
Oh, yeah.
I've been dreaming about this deer for over a year, and you guys both got to see him before me. I was kind of pissed.
Ross got some really got my first reaction video walking up and everything, so I got all awesome. That. Yeah. So I'm really happy that I just decided to take the time, and you always say enjoy the moment.
Yep.
And that's why I wanted Austin or Ross to be there before we did anything.
Mm-hmm.
So
for sure. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was definitely.
So what was the reaction, man?
Speechless. Still to this point, speechless. I woke up. I don't know, I walked up. I couldn't believe how big it was. We lost him, actually, when we drove back our trucks back out there. I lost him. I had to go back to the blind and follow the blood trail.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, he blends in with that corn so perfect. You finally see him, and his rack sticks up 12 inches above the corn stalks.
Oh, man. So, I mean, when you pick him up.
Brow tines were the first thing I saw.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, they just – his right brow tine is the longest tine.
Which is wild. Yeah, I mean, how long is it?
9 and change, 9 and 5/8.
And how wide?
23.
23 inside, beams 27 and 28, I think.
28 and 27 and 5/8.
Yep.
Wow. Those are some beams, man.
And his mass at the bases is 4 5/8, and he carries it all the way out.
That's a specimen of a clean 8-pointer.
Yeah, no, clean. No, not an inch burr anywhere on him. The deer is going to net. He ended up what I grossed him at, and you know me, I'm a little stingy with the tape, but I tried not to be on this deer. I tried to give him the time length that he had. So I think he's really going to score right around 165. I think I come up with 164 and 5/8, but he's going to net 160 to 161 as just a perfectly clean 8.
You don't see 8s net like that.
And he doesn't have a tine over 10 inches.
He's got 4 1/8 inches of deductions from what we went off of.
Beams, mass, and brows.
When I walked up on him, I said, that deer's mid-60s. I mean, just seeing him on the ground, he's bigger than what I thought he was. I was guessing him 155, 160, and he ended up being 165.
I think I said 40s at one time when he was laying there, just because I didn't want to get my hopes up.
You said 40s?
I think so. I mean, I might not have said that out loud, but I said to myself, like, this deer's probably like 145.
But it's weird that when you look at your own deer.
Yeah, I'm just, yeah.
Like, I have like a block. Like, I have to... Like, I shot my buck, and I sent some snaps and some pictures to Austin. It's like, that buck's got to be over 160. I'm like, I don't know. And I was like, maybe. I don't know. I can't, like, mentally look at my own deer and judge them.
It's tough when it's your own deer, but
isn't that weird? Because it's just a deer. Like, how many deer do you look at that you could be like, oh, yeah, that buck's over 160. But then if I were to shot that, I'd be like, I'd probably do the same thing you're doing. Like, it's probably 153.
Well, I didn't want to get my hopes up for one.
Right, yeah, that's also a factor.
I was just... more ecstatic that he was. It was a really long year from hitting that deer in October. Happy that he ended up living. I mean, he was showed Austin the pictures. He was in a high 50s, low 60s deer. And so just, it's been a long year. Longest I've, not the most time I've put in the tree stand, but the longest into the season I've hunted.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, man. That's an absolute freaking brute of an 8-pointer. It's, they just don't come around like that.
No. I actually mentioned this deer on Leah's podcast. I went down one night and hunted that deer after I found out that he was alive. And I'm glad that it happened the way that it did. You know, I got to kill my number one. I got to kill Leah's buck. And then I got to watch you put an arrow through this guy. I mean, you can't dream the season up. As an outfitter and a hunter, I had a dream season this year.
This season has been so good to us.
Yep.
And the only person that really needs to mop it up is Ross. And that's Ross hasn't hunted.
He's a late season king. His time's coming. It's just getting good for Ross.
Well, yeah, and it's not that Ross has had bad luck. He hasn't had opportunity to have luck of any kind, really. Right. Because
he's hunted 3 times, and he's already seen like 2 or 3 good ones. So yeah. he's doing fine.
Yeah, he's due. But, man, I mean, just the year everyone is having is just incredible. But congratulations, man. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate it.
Hey, good way to get you on the podcast for the first time, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
We've all killed some stuff. Everybody at the table's killed some good ones this year.
It's been 5 years since my last good one.
Really?
You beat my, I was a 146 I killed in 17. So you beat my last best by 19 inches.
But you also have a Boone and Crockett Wisconsin black bear, too, which is awesome.
Yeah.
How big? You just had your black
20 flat.
Fucking gigantic, dude. The skull's insane. You taking my bear's just shy of 18, the one I killed in Wyoming, and then your skull, it looks like a different species.
Two inches doesn't sound like a lot, but when you look at a bear's skull that's 2 inches different, there's a lot of difference.
It's incredible, yeah. Isn't it?
And he hung at 398 pounds. That was all the guts in him. So
see, I don't know if that's heavy or not for
that's
20
a big,
inch
that's a big bear.
Yeah. That makes me think my bear was a lot smaller body weight than what it was.
Probably similar to what mine was, 2 2 1/4.
Yeah,
I'd guess. Yeah,
yeah. Because you have 2 18-inch bears, right?
I got 17 and an 18, 17 sow and an 18 boar.
Ross has got 2 20-inch bears.
I think he's got a 19 and change, and then one that's real close to 20. If it's not 20,
crazy.
Yeah,
your skull just look like, I feel like it's like the bone is thick on
it's
your
all
skull.
All that milk.
All that Wisconsin milk.
Milk and cheese. Just grows them thick.
Eating garbage cheese curds out of the back of the old.
You think we don't finish the bag? You think that's what we're feeding bears?
Well, I don't know. It's that old cheese.
That junk Casey's pizza is what we feed them.
Hold on. What do you eat? What kind of pizza do you eat?
Oh, Quick Trip.
Oh, shit.
We get down
bag bag milk. Is that the one with bag milk?
Yeah, they have bag milk.
You have to buy the plastic thing to put your milk in?
You don't have to. I usually buy the plastic thing. It's called the jug, and it comes in the jug.
Okay, so if you don't buy the jug, what do you put it in? Do you have a bag of milk in your fridge?
Yeah.
Then what? How do you drink it?
You put it in like a juice container.
Yeah, that's too much fucking work.
They're free.
buy a gallon of milk.
Yeah, yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing? You know, that buck's staying here with us.
Oh, you got me spilling myself.
Talking shit about Casey's pizza.
It's trash.
Too good to put.
Overrated.
Too good to put milk in a gallon jug.
You cut off.
You cut off. You're fucking done, son. Hey, you guys are from Iowa. You guys are Casey's?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. You're fucking outnumbered, right. Kayler. I know you're a big dude, but I'm going to beat your ass, all right?
That's fine. Stab you with this 11-inch brow tie.
Yeah, stab you with your own deer.
I can't thank Austin enough for the hospitality him and Leah put on, though, the whole time. It was absolutely incredible. And then for him to let me take the sheds with me was something I never would have dreamed of. So I'm really thankful.
Casey handed me the sheds. You know, she found them on my farm. So mm-hmm. the sheds went to me. And I said, whoever kills that deer is going to get the sheds. And I'll do that with any sheds that I have. Fair. So I'd want somebody to do that for me if they had the sheds. So, no, man, it's going to make an awesome display for you. And this deer looks impressive sitting here now, but when you get that thing mounted and you get him up on the wall,
stupid,
it's going to take a big, big deer to make him look small.
Stupid. So what are you doing for a mount? Because you're going to Old Barn.
Yep, I took him to Old Barn this morning to get him capped. So I'm going to do a wall pedestal looking left with the looking left but straight and then ears slightly relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Try to show off his width.
Good move. And then you have set up for the shed antlers.
Yeah, I got Austin recommending that rack hub system, and I actually got him in really, really fast. I got him yesterday, and I already put him in. So had him hung up in my garage, and crazy to think how big those sheds looked on that thing. And then just to know that he's bigger than that is crazy.
So you're going to do like the mount, the rack hub right next to each other?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure yet. I got a vaulted ceiling in my living room, so they're 14-foot ceilings, so it's kind of weird. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet, but
yeah, you don't want to hang him too high because you don't get to enjoy it. You almost got to get him eye level-ish.
I know. I got to figure out something. I got a 146, a 154, and then a 130 in there, so it's going to
full mount him, and then, I mean, why not, right? You got the space?
No. I got a full mount bear in there.
Oh, that other bear's full mounted?
Oh, yeah, on a base.
Hey, guys, interrupting again. We apologize, but I hope you understand. We'll make it quick. The podcast also brought to you by Thermoseat. Man, right now, you should be thinking about coyote hunting, I think, especially Austin and all of us.
Yeah, we've got a score to settle with the coyotes this winter.
We're getting some revenge, and we have a Thermoseat buckled to us the entire time. The wedge is always on us because you don't need a tree to sit upon. If you got to plop down and hurry up and shoot off your knee for a coyote,
yeah,
you can do that.
Between turkey hunting and coyote hunting, that wedge gets put to work. That is a nice setup.
It's the best setup, I think. We put them to work during deer season, of course, but right now it's like when you got to run and gun and get on the ground or sit for a long time on the ground. Having to not sit on your knees while you're calling or waiting on a turkey where you have to be still is the difference in being successful sometimes and not.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but like my knees and ankles will fall asleep and then I'm just fucked from there.
Yeah, I'm getting old, so I can, on that knee position, when you're trying to sit on your knees, I can do that for about 5 minutes and then I'm done.
Your old dusty bones start to hurt.
My knees are cracking.
It's just like scaring coyotes off. But I mean, yeah, that wedge, look into that. If you don't have one of those, code WCTS could get you into one of those for a little less money than full retail with our code. And, of course, HHA Sports, single pin sights, drop away rest, stabilizer setups, American made. They support our veterans and they offer a lifetime warranty with their products. So if something happens to it, just hit them up and they'll take care of you. It literally would be the last accessories for a bow you'll ever need to buy. So if you're a guy that switches out his bow every few years and you don't want to worry about buying new accessories the same time you get a new bow, get in some HHA stuff. Code WCB15. My voice is going out again from doing trade shows. You hear it starting to
crackle a little bit.
Starting to crackle.
We're still recouping. It's only been a couple days.
Trade shows burn your voice out. Victory Archery, Victory Arrows, Rip TKOs. I know. And you're shooting the VAP SSs, right?
Yep.
So there's a lot of controversy with arrows and carbon and all that. Like anybody that does manufacture with carbon, with like the supply delays and COVID bullshit and all that. We addressed that on an upcoming episode with Victory and he breaks that down. But, man, we're really proud to work with Victory. It's an arrow we shot, well before even being partnered with Victory. It just, you know, happened to work out. And, Great people. Steve over at Victory. Man, that guy has some stories to tell.
He's got some interesting stories. That's going to make for a cool podcast.
I want to have him on again already.
Like a full length episode.
Yeah, like I don't know if we can get him. He's, you know, they're all from California, so we need to get them out. The dude is fascinating. Grew up in India, and some of the crazy stories he tells us about on that Victory pod. We talk more about India and like the crazy shit he's done than we do arrows. So pretty cool. Great people there at Victory. It does feel like family, which is awesome. And that goes into like our next segue is like Huntworth clothing and camo and hunting gear. Like Huntworth has been such an amazing partnership for us. Like, you know, that we are included, like they reach out to us. We're in constant contact. We've built such a great relationship with the people at Huntworth. What do you think? What can we change? Like they really care about clothing being optimal for bow hunters. And they really care about the best value and the best quality clothing you can get for the value on your dollar. And what's the other great thing is like Farm and Fleet carries it.
Yep.
I don't know if we don't have Fleet Farm around here, but a lot of those like farm type stores carry Huntworth in their clothing section.
Yeah. It's easy to find it, and I don't know how you're going to beat it for the money.
Yeah, I don't know if you do.
I don't think you can.
I had it on my lion hunt. I had it on my mule deer hunt. It's very impressive for how much it costs for the quality. So give Huntworth a shot. Their camos are awesome. Tarnin right now is one of my favorite patterns.
A lot of compliments on the Tarnin this year. Guys wanting to know what it was.
Yeah, Tarnin is great. Distortion's a great pattern. It's got a digital type look to it, but they're both great patterns. I wore Distortion earlier in the season, and then I got all my late season stuff in Tarnin.
That's exactly what I did.
Just separates it for me.
Yeah,
but
it's easy to pick out in the bag that way.
And I tested out some new pants and jackets and stuff for them. It's fucking awesome.
Looking forward to wearing that stuff next year for sure.
The new pants are insane.
Nice.
But anyway, Huntworth, man, glad to be partnered with that. Check them out. Tell them that we sent you. So that way they know that supports us, man. And good vibes. Back to the episode. Sorry to take up your time, but we got to do it. Love you guys.
Hey everyone, Doug here with another Mobile Veteran shout out. As always, they are brought to you by Operation HHA USA. You can go to HHAUSA.org and check them out. This veteran shout out submitted by Jared Still, and the veteran is Ryan Black for the branch that says National Guard. It says here, wanting to give my cousin/brother Ryan a shout out. He was an E4 specialist, spent 6 years starting in 04. From July 2007 to July 2008, while under the 1138th Supper Company, he was in Baghdad, Iraq, performing route clearance and clearing bombs while I was dropping meat and laying pipe. There he was blown up 9 times, which is insane. Through all that and a rough upbringing, he has remained a great person that would give you the shirt off his back and is an amazing father. Works his ass off and has been a sole provider for them for most of their life. He isn't the type who asks for credit, but definitely deserves it. Says, we grew up chasing everything Missouri has to offer, from frogs to deer. He doesn't have much time to hunt as he used to, but still gets around to it. So thanks for spending that, Jared, and thank you for your service, Ryan. Hopefully everything's going good. And good luck to you guys this season.
You got an old lady at home?
Not yet.
I go
to her house.
You don't need one. You're good. Everyone in here shaking their head no. You don't need one.
Not at my house. I'll just go to her house. It's easier that way. It's cleaner.
That's a good move. It's a good move. Well, congrats, man. Do you want to shout out your Instagram or give any shout outs to anybody? I would say Instagram just because that's what everybody's on now.
Yeah, my Instagram is just Kaylor George. My name, no spaces, no nothing fancy. Just Kaylor George.
You might want to spell that because we said your name wrong for like the first 2 years we knew you.
It doesn't look like Kaylor when you read it.
No, so it's K-E-H-L-E-R and then George, just the generic spelling. So, and then the one person I do want to shout out is my buddy Chad. He does all my bow work for me. He actually just became an elite dealer.
No kidding. Okay, yeah,
so
cool.
Keller Custom Archery in Sauk City, Wisconsin. So great prices, great dude.
Cool. So if you order your elites online, you can have them shipped there if you're from that area. And you guys win twice.
Yep. My ritual, cool. I love it, but I might upgrade this year.
Are you?
I might. We'll see.
The ritual's a good bow, man.
I know. I don't want to put it down.
Keep it.
I might keep it. I might. Backup bowl.
It's always fun to get another one new and mess around.
Yeah.
New is fun. Yeah. new is fun, man. Goes with the girls, too, you know? New is fun. I mean, our wives don't listen.
Yeah, we won't go there.
You can have a girlfriend.
Why do I do that? Figure out. I just like fucking do this shit.
You're just trying to get in trouble.
I know. It's like the whole episode making fun of gay people.
Get pissing your wife off. Talking about whacking off.
That was you.
No, that was you. Hey, that was you. Hey,
hey, don't turn this around on us.
Well, I said it, well, but I didn't bring it up on the podcast.
I said it, but I'm not willing to say it publicly.
You'll have them days.
Yeah, you know, I'm never going to be able to run for political office of any sorts.
I don't think we have to worry about that anyways. You got hand tattoos.
You're right. I'll work at fucking Casey's for Quick Trip, though. I'll tell you that.
At least make it a Casey's, for Christ's sakes.
Gross.
I'll make the best motherfucking Casey's pizza you've ever seen with these hand tattoos.
What? Shut up.
What do you think I'm going to do? Put milk into a bag at Quick Trip? Suck my ass. Suck my bot fly hole. It's time to end the podcast on that. Thanks, man. Hey, thanks for being here, guys. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.